This is Twit.
First things first, when was last time you actually went into a Burger King before this taste test?
Oh, it's been ages. Probably a couple decades. You know, it's been a long time.
Couple of decades before stepping foot into a Burger King, and then Impossible Burger shows up, and I'm fascinated by this idea of, like, I feel like, you know, I can speak for myself personally as far as fast food is concerned, and specifically something like Burger King. When I was a kid, I was all about it. I went to Burger King with my kids a couple of years ago because they were super fascinated by it, and so I was like, fine, I'll take you there one time. It was one of the more disgusting meals I've ever had. So is this the kind of thing that brings people back into fast food that had already written it off? I guess that's what Impossible Burger is hoping for.
It actually doesn't, because what it does is it so closely replicates exactly what you had last time you were there having a regular Whopper. So if you don't like the idea of a Whopper, if you don't like all that stuff, I mean, I was surprised. I guess I'd forgotten how laden fast food burgers are with lettuce and mayo and special sauce and that wet, soggy tomato. Oh, and it was, you can't kind of see right there. It's kind of a wet mess, right? I mean, there's an awful lot of stuff. Pickles, I left out the pickles. There's a lot going on there. And then you get to the burger right before you get to the basement and the bottom of the bun. So, you know, that's distracting a bit from the patty itself, which is part of the story here. This is different than, let's say, the future, which is going to be some new products that will be plant-based or cellular-grown steak, which is a product that arrives by itself unadorned. I think burgers are a little easier to nail because they are buried in other stuff. But whether that's here nor there, that is an exceedingly good analog, the Impossible Burger, for a beef burger. The story is, there's kind of no story here. It's extremely faithful to what you're used to.
Wow, which is saying something. I believe, man, I think we had Russell Hawley from Mobile Nations on a few months ago when he was at CES, and he tried the Impossible Burger 2.0. And I guess I'm fascinated with the Impossible Burger because I've never had it, but I like to talk to people who have. But he tried the 2.0, and he said, like, it's so convincing that it could absolutely, for him, replace burger and, you know, replace true burger meat in his diet. So I guess it makes sense that, a place like Burger King would actually attempt to try this out. Now, what exactly makes up the Impossible Burger that's different from some of the other stuff you were just talking about?
Well, you mentioned the 2.0 formula that came out at CES. Mm-hmm. Again, a tech announcement. And I think they're credibly a tech company. It's not just being cute because what they're doing is they're reformulating something. What they're doing is what all great tech companies do. They're taking an existing human appetite or need, literally an appetite, and they're trying to come up with what at least they think is a better way to solve that need that is more technically advanced, more efficient, smarter in many ways. And so what they've done here with the 2.0 formula, as I understand it, is they went from a wheat protein based patty in their 1.0 to a soy protein based patty. So that's a big shift right there. But also with the other sorts of ingredients that go in there, they've also worked hard to make it more amenable to the kind of machine we're looking at there, the grill. That's called a conveyor broiler, I learned, not a grill. And what it does is, yes, grill the patties, but it moves them through at a very high heat, 630 degrees for 2 minutes and 35 seconds. And then at the end, they drop about 6 inches down this little chute. And we've seen this in fast food restaurants if you look in the back and while you're waiting for your order. Yep. And it was one of the hardest things they had to do was to make sure the patty was formulated in a way that it didn't break up as it fell down the chute and as it was put into what they call a hot holding tray, which is where they put cooked patties before your order is actually ready to be made. These are the physical challenges they had to come up and solve with their formulation. They already had nailed, I think, taste and texture. A lot of it was about handleability in a restaurant or mass production food setting.
So these are different. So then in that case, these are different from what some of the people at CES were trying. They might taste the same, but they're more durable.
In a sense, these are different because what they've done here is they have, this is the 2.0 at CES. What they did different for Burger King, though, is they did get the diameter exactly right, as you can see, and they got the thickness exactly right. So they have very little shrinkage on this product. It's not one that gets dramatically smaller like a typical 80-20 ground beef patty. Yeah. It goes in at one diameter and it comes out that diameter. Ditto for the thickness. So they had to get that exactly right and realize that we have to work the cooking process to make sure we know that we're not counting on shrinkage to fit the bun, because one of the biggest things that they heard from Burger King is we cannot have this thing smaller than the bun. We're not changing the bun. A Whopper is a Whopper. So therefore, do not give us a patty. It's going to yield a burger where occasionally the customer is going to come up with a big old mouthful of nothing but bread, lettuce, and mayo. That's not what they're looking for. So one of the keys here was literally the physical engineering of it. The formulation was already going that way as of January.
And so this the story around how these two kind of came to be, it really sounds like much of the work was on Impossible getting their burger to match the equipment that Burger King already had, which makes me wonder, are the actual burger patties being cooked in the same machines as the Impossible burger patties?
Yeah, good question. I don't know. Perhaps they're on a different temperature and time. That sounds unlikely, though. I suspect they had to form this to make sure it's going to go through the same conveyor broiler. I can't see a Burger King restaurant adding another, what has to be a multi-$1,000 machine and another natural gas hookup. So, no, these must be going through the same path. I'm not sure of that, but I suspect they're going the same cooking path and the same build process, as they call it. That's when they get them on the counter and they're pulling ingredients together and they're building the sandwich. As a traditional animal patty.
Yeah, and I would imagine that would be the case too. What I think would maybe be a roadblock for some people is that some people would want to get the Impossible Burger because it's not meat, and let's say they're vegetarian, even though I know that Impossible's mission isn't necessarily to cater directly to vegetarians, but to replace meat for people who already eat meat. But knowing that they're not using separate machines, people get very tricky around that, knowing that, hey, I want this meatless product made in a meatless
very strict
machine.
Vegans are going to perhaps have an issue if they learn that there is this thing being cooked on the same grill as an animal product that's going in around the same time. That's a very small market, to be honest.
That's true.
This is going to be something where I think Burger King is aiming, obviously, for big market. They're not doing this to do something niche. That's not the business they're in. I think what's happened here is they got comfortable over the last year, I think, negotiating and talking with Impossible to say, okay, I think you guys at Impossible have solved more or less for taste and texture. There will always be folks that say, A, if it ain't animal, I'm not eating it. B, I don't like new food. C, I don't like food that has technology. There's all those communities that will just reject this thing out of hand. But I think for a big lobe in the middle of Burger King's market, BK has realized, you know what? This nails taste and texture good enough. Let's now embrace it, and we can apply the three things that we're really good at as a big chain, which is to work on affordability, accessibility, and acceptability. Get the price, even though it's a dollar more right now, but eventually they want to erase that. Get the price where it's accessible. Get the availability. That's what they can do with 7,000 restaurants. And get the acceptability, which is to market the hell out of this thing, to make it mainstream by the sheer force of their brand and their media spending around it. And that is something that they can do that upstart food companies can't.